Good morning. It's good to see everyone that's out with us this morning, especially our visitors. We're so thankful that you've come our way. And if you haven't already, you can take out your sermon outlines. And as you can see, this is going to be a pretty short lesson. I wanted to express my thankfulness and my gratitude for the brethren here. And we have that evidenced in much of the writings of the Apostle Paul. He, although I don't have the extensive list, but I do have several examples of his thankfulness for the brethren throughout many of the churches that he wrote to and that he labored with and assisted in spreading the gospel in evangelism. In Psalm 100, verse 4, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name." And obviously, we're in the month of November. And a lot of times, depending on the preacher's activities and what all they're working on as far as studies, a lot of them will work on a sermon series dealing with thankfulness. And while I don't have a whole series of thankfulness ready to preach on throughout the whole month, I did want to express my thankfulness to you all in this way. And we see throughout the Bible, not just Old Testament, but even New Testament. You see there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." And so there's a lot of things that we ought to be thankful for that we need to consider in our lives. But this is just one day of many. And again, I appreciate everything that everyone has done here and Lord willing will continue to do. And so let's look at these examples that we have here. In Romans chapter 1, verse 8, we see Paul saying, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." And so, these, you know, again, looking at these examples here, can we have this said about us? And think about it. I mean, I've heard many wonderful things about you all throughout before my time of coming here and even during my time here. And so this is what I want to express to you all. Continue in the faith. Keep on fighting. Stay the course. Don't get sidetracked with a lot of the ins and outs of the world. Don't get sidetracked. And remember the sermon that I preached about, oh, it was a little over a month ago, dealing with the fog, what stands between us and heaven. And so a lot of times we allow the fog of our lives, whether it's problems, different circumstances, what have you, relationships, and they stand between us and heaven, and it causes us to kind of just to grow weary, to lose heart. And so we don't need to do that. But Paul was extremely thankful for the brethren there at Rome because of their faith. And it was spoken of throughout the whole world. Was it that they were perfect? No. There's no perfect congregation, just as there's no perfect individual as far as perfect Christian. But when we're striving to do the will of God and we're seeking God's will for our lives, if we're seeking God's will by being the light of the world and the salt of the earth as we ought to be doing for others, seeking to teach the lost, to be an example for them, I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for all of your endeavors. Over in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, look at that. Even, and we know this first letter to Corinth was not necessarily a pleasant letter. There wasn't a lot of pleasantries going on. They had a lot of problems. They had a lot of sin problems, just like we have a lot of sin problems. And so, but look at what he says. He says, "I thank my God always concerning you. It's because of his faith. It was because of their faith. Because always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus. So this is a congregation that has many, many problems. Many issues. They were coming together, not for the better, but for the worse. Some of them were being arrogant. They were being stubborn. And they were not putting out the brother who was in clear sin, fornicating with his father's wife. And there's a lot of other issues, right? But the reality is they needed the grace of God, and they had the grace of God. Just as we need the grace of God, and we also have the grace of God, so long as we stay on the straight and narrow course. We stay on the straight and narrow way. Narrow is the way, and few there be who find it. So if you ever find yourself on the Broadway, where many, you know, they enter into that Broadway, leads to destruction. We need to figure out a way to get off that broad path and get back to the reality of our spiritual condition. That without God's grace, we are nothing. We are dead in our sins. Paul at Ephesus in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16, he says, "Do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." And no, I may not know every single person's the ins and outs of your lives, the problems, the joy that you have. Just as you don't know everything about the next person sitting maybe down the row from you or across the room from you. I would say sitting beside you, but most of you are sitting beside your spouses and family, so hopefully you would know the ins and outs of their lives. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't be thankful from one corner to the other corner, from one side to the other side. Thankful for our youth. Thankful for those who are kind of in the middle. Thankful for those who are aging in life. Because there's all kinds of different perspectives. We have all walks of life here in this very room. We've got people who has worked all of their lives and are now retired. And even in their retirement, they're still busy all the time. I still don't know how that works. I picture retirement as just sitting around doing nothing. But as I, the more and more I see people retire, it seems like they get more busy in retirement. You have those who are retired. You have those who are still actively working in the workforce. You have those who are still in school and being educated. I'm thankful for all of these. These perspectives helps us grow. Because those who are elderly can come and say, you know, look at people like me and my wife. We've been married for 12 years, going on 13. So someone who's been married for 50 years can come to us and say, hey, let me give you a little bit of perspective. That's wonderful to have in a congregation. Because not a lot of congregations have that. So I'm thankful for that. Over in Thessalonica, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 3, we are bound to thank God always for you. Even in those moments of frustration, always. We always have those moments where someone frustrates us, right? Or probably a better way to put it is we become frustrated by someone, because it's not that they've made us frustrated, it's just that we get frustrated from whatever it is. But realizing that that person still has a soul, that person still needs saving. That person still needs help. Or maybe that person that's frustrating you, maybe they can help you in some way. But we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. And so this is part of the discussion that we may have a different variety of views on this. Some people may view us as not being as loving as we should. Some people may view the congregation as growing and getting better at doing that. And that's what I would want us to focus at, is that to me, there's always room for growth. There's going to be mistakes. However, how do we respond from those mistakes? How do we learn from those mistakes? Do we learn from our history, learn from our past, and then grow and then do better? But you see, that's what Paul, part of what he was thankful for, because their faith grows exceedingly. He didn't have this unreasonable or irrational take on their faith that they should all be perfect and that there would never be problems, that they wouldn't be facing persecution. You see, he understood that they were in the stage of actively growing. So that's what we need to be doing. We need to be actively growing in our faith and not remaining stagnant, right? Because nobody likes stagnant water. You ever been walking through the woods and then all of a sudden you see that little puddle and you're like, ooh, that's got a film on it. Let's not touch it. And then, of course, a bug or something scrapes across it. And so all that smell just goes into the... It's stinky. It's nasty. It's gross, right? But if our faith is growing exceedingly... If our faith's growing, then our love is growing, our concern, where we feel that deep need to reach out to others when we see them struggling in their lives and in their faith. Philemon, verse 4 and 5, Paul says, I thank my God, making mention of you always in my prayers, hearing of your love and faith which you have toward the Lord and toward all the saints. So again, are we actively praying for our brethren in Christ? You know, it seems I'm not saying here in corporate worship, but I know in my discussions with people, like other brethren from other congregations, and I'm friends with them, and we talk, and it seems like so often somehow the discussion always leads to, like, foreign communication as far as foreign evangelism. I'm like, yes, there needs to be evangelism over there, whether it's in Africa, Ethiopia, wherever, France, Germany, Russia, China. But we still need evangelism here. While we need to pray for those brethren across the sea, how often are we praying for our brethren right here in this very room? Are we thankful for the brethren right here in this very room? That's the question. So let's transition the discussion for just a moment. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew 25. Now, I did put verses 14 and 15 on here. I didn't want to put the whole context up. But we all know this parable, the parable of the talents. Verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called on his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1 according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. And in the same manner the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. And now after a long time the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with the few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And obviously we know the rest of the text. The two-talent individual, he gained two. He was told, "Well done, good, faithful servant. You were faithful with few things. Enter in." But then the one, he said, "Thou wicked slave." I want us to consider our talents and our services. And I have a few listed on the back. We've got song leaders. We have those who help assist and lead prayer. Those who fill in for me whenever I'm sick or if an emergency arises and I'm not able to be here. We have those who fill in for the Bible class teachers, so that would also include me. But the additional teachers too. Those who sign up and volunteer their times with not just the auditorium class, but our high schoolers. And then our middle schoolers. And then the young ones, our little younglings that we have here. I'm thankful for those who volunteer to teach these additional classes. I'm thankful for those who volunteer to help with fixing things around here. I think there's a lot of things that kind of go unseen. And that's why I wanted to preach this type of a lesson, because it appears by many that, well, things just run smoothly. You know, you come, the lights are on, you come, the building's warm or it's cool, depending on what the temperature is outside. You come and the baptistry is always clean and ready to go. Bathrooms are always ready to go if someone needs to use the restroom, water fountain, lights. Although I do see we need to replace one light. That's okay. We'll get to that. But a lot of things just seem to take care of themselves. And it's not because anyone has come up and said, "Hey, I've done this." They did it because they recognized the need and they took care of it. And I appreciate just these minor things that goes on that keeps things trucking. I'm thankful for the volunteers who assist in signing up and cleaning the building every month. And when we say clean the building, we don't mean once a month. And yes, I always try to help out. I'm here just about every day of the week anyway, so I always try to make sure that the pews and the carpets are vacuumed and just do some minor things so that those who are cleaning the building, the rest of it, the classrooms, the bathrooms, the foyers, the glasses, the glass windows, or the glass doors, excuse me, the mirrors, making sure everything else is clean in the bathrooms, that they don't have to be concerned and just overwhelmed. This is, while it's not a large, huge building, it's still a big building nonetheless. And you think, we meet on Sundays twice. So there'll be some picking up, throwing away trash after services this morning. We'll meet again this afternoon. Guess what? After services tonight, whoever signed up, they'll be picking up trash, picking up things, putting things in order, making sure all the visitor cards are filled up and that the pencils are sharp. There's a lot of minor things, minor details that just kind of gets overlooked. And these things help with the work. Those who offer to help people during traumatic experiences, whether it's grieving the loss of a loved one or having surgeries, being sick and ill, you already know where you're going to get from us. You're going to get chicken pot pie if you're sick and not able to cook. That's what you're going to get from us. Or chicken noodle soup. That's probably, you know, what you'll get. But a lot of you step up. You'll reach into your wallet. You'll give cash to go get food. You'll give gift cards to go get a meal. You'll ask, "Can we cook you something? Can we bring you any food?" There's a lot of things that goes on underneath the noses of everyone, and I'm not saying that you're not purposely noticing, and maybe you have, but if you haven't, I want you to know that we have a good group of people here. And no, we're not perfect. And no, we don't always love as we should. We can always do better. But we have a good group of people who, for the most part, I believe that if today was their day, that they would hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." And I'm thankful for that, that I'm able to labor here with you all, with a wonderful group that doesn't put undue stress on me and mine. There's a lot of preachers who can't say that. And you all should hear that every once in a while. The work of the church cannot be done without all of you. It's not me. It's not my wife. It's not my children. You all are continuing this work. So going back to the other passage, I had another passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and I just had it down as kind of a reference passage, verse 4 through 6. Now, there are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. And so, again, you just look throughout this list of all the things that I've just mentioned. We all play a role with each other. Some of you have built really close-knit relationship with each other, and you have an excellent rapport with one another. Keep that, but let's seek to grow and branch out and build rapports with even more. Because if we don't, that's when the work starts sliding down. That's when things slow down. We start to have those hindrances, obstacles to climb over. That's when problems arise. But that doesn't do away with the need to tell you all that I'm thankful for you. And I hope you'd be willing to do the same for the others who are in this room, that you are thankful for them. Because without each other, we would not be here. I'm thankful ultimately for your love for the truth. Over in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2 through 4, Paul tells Timothy, he says, "Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." You guys appreciate good, simple preaching. How do I know this? Because you guys love Brother Matt Smith. He did a really good job. I'm thankful for Brother Matt Smith and all the work that he does and is continuing to do over there in Quitman. I'm thankful for the elders and the deacons over at Quitman. I'm thankful for the elders and the deacons at other congregations. I'm thankful for other congregations, but I'm thankful for your stance and your love for the truth. Whenever someone gets up here and gives an invitation on Wednesday evenings, or someone filling in for me preaching, all you guys desire and want is for them to preach the truth. You want them to convince people. You want them to rebuke people, obviously in a tactful way. But you want it done with long-suffering and teaching. You guys are continuing to endure sound doctrine. And I'm thankful for that. And I want you all to stay the course. I want to encourage you all, do not get off that boat. Remain steadfast. Keep seeking the teachings of Christ. And then finally, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. This is a continued thought in reference to your love for the truth. And my effort to continue to encourage you to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. To beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness. Because that's a reality. We can get complacent in our lives. We can get a little too comfortable where we think, oh, well, that's not going to happen to me. And then all of a sudden we blink and we find ourselves walking out of the door of the church. And I don't mean this physical church. I'm talking about the Lord's body. And that we give up because we give in to the world. Again, your love for the truth to me is evident. You guys enjoy good, simple, hard preaching. Now, I know I'm not really that hard of a preacher. I have no problems. Not going to quibble with you on that. I know I can get stiff in some areas. But I'm confident in saying that the people that we bring in, that we support, will stand for the truth. They'll give you those good hard lessons when you need them. Because if we don't have it, and all we receive is fluff, or maybe you would consider it as cotton candy, we're not helping each other. That's not beneficial to one another. I know this passage isn't in the text or in my lesson, but let's go over to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, and drop down to verse 26. John 6, 26. Jesus answered them and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled. Do not work for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on Him the Father God has set His seal." Therefore they said to Him, "What shall we do that we may work the works of God?" Jesus answered and said to them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in Him whom He has sent." I want you all to continue laboring in this work, that you continue to believe in Him, in Jesus Christ, in whom God has sent. But if you're here this morning, I know this was a lesson more geared towards just you guys, not trying to put you all on a pedestal, not trying to say that you all have it all figured out, but a lesson of thanks. Thank you for your continued service in the Lord. We need to keep doing that. But part of our service in the Lord is offering up an opportunity for anyone who may be here who has never submitted their lives to obedience to the gospel. If you're here this morning, as we're about to sing, "There's a Great Day Coming," think about these words, because that day will come, and if you're not prepared, if you're not ready, you will not hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." You will hear, "Thou wicked slave." So if you need to render obedience to the gospel by confessing of your sins, repenting, and being baptized in water for the remission of your sins. Why tarriest thou? Rise, be baptized, wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. We want to offer up this opportunity for you to do so right here and right now. But if you find yourself outside of Christ, you had already obeyed the gospel, but you've allowed sin to enslave you, and you've been under the bondage of sin again. If you need the prayers of the congregation or you need to talk to someone, whatever it is, we want to help you and serve you this morning. If you're subject to our public invitation, please come forward as we prepare to stand and sing the invitation song.